At Crosspoint, our primary mission is to help people find and follow Jesus. We say it all the time. We say it every week. In fact, if you're watching right now, more than likely, you've already found Jesus, and you're trying to follow him as faithfully as you can. But what if you're looking for Jesus? What if you're trying to find him? I'd like to ask you how you're doing that. Who is leading you to Jesus? The easiest way is to find someone who knows Jesus and to follow them. Let them tell you about him so you can learn about him and follow him yourself. That's the simplest way. Maybe it's that person who has said to you, would you like to come to church with me? Or maybe they have said, I'm going to send you a text with a link to the service so that you can watch. Or maybe it's not something that overt. Maybe it's just something simple like, can I pray for you right now? Or would you like me to pray with you? Something that easy. The point I'm getting at is that the easiest way to find Jesus is to follow someone that knows Jesus. Last week, Trey shared with us all our three-letter outline for the year to come. It's I-N-G, the suffix I-N-G. It's when we commonly add those three letters to the end of a word, and when we do so, it denotes the action or an action that a person is doing. For example, the word talk could either be a verb or a noun, but when you add ing to the end of it and create the word talking, it describes the action that a person is doing, talking, like I'm doing right now. It's just that simple. I know that it sounds kind of nerdy, but for our purposes for this entire year to come, we're going to be taking a look at words that have an ing ending. So we can describe and help one another learn how to be better followers of Jesus. It's really that easy. When Jesus taught us, one of the last things that he said is found in the book of Matthew. It's the commission for people who follow Jesus. It's not sophisticated, but it really is helpful and gives us a guide. Let's read it again. Trey read it last week. Let's read it again. Matthew 28, starting with the 18th verse. Then Jesus came to them. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So you must go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and you can be sure that I am always with you to the very end." So when it comes to being a better follower of Jesus, when we listen to what he wanted us to do to make that happen, to make disciples, there are three general but basic objectives that we find: knowing, growing, and going. Knowing more about Jesus, growing more like Jesus, and going with him wherever he leads us. That really is just that simple. Knowing, growing, and going. Everything that we talk about this year is going to fall under one of those three umbrellas. Today, we're just going to take a look at knowing more about Jesus. He said in that commission that he wanted us to teach them. Teach. Jesus is telling those that were listening at the point that what they saw, what they had heard, everything that they knew about Jesus, they were to share with others so that they could know more about him. Knowing is about information. It's about the things that they knew about Jesus that they were to share with others. And all the things that they knew, the stories that we've heard about Jesus, they're recorded in the Bible. And you can find them in four different books. The ministry of Jesus is contained in four different books: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Two of those books were written by men who followed Jesus, who were with him, Matthew and John. And they shared everything. When they followed him, they shared it. They were the first ones to carry out that commission, and they made a huge difference. What they shared about Jesus literally changed the world. An entire empire, the Roman Empire, was turned upside down, completely changed by followers of Jesus. Do you know what Jesus' followers were known for? They were not known for their political activism. They were not known for being a part of a political party. They were not even known for remembering, academically speaking, all the things that Jesus said and did. They were known for their ability to live like Jesus did, to love like Jesus loved. It was the way that they loved people that changed an entire empire and eventually an entire world. The way that they cared for people who were not able to care for themselves. That was the difference that Jesus' followers made. The political world of the time did not like Jesus. They didn't want another ruler. They misunderstood what he meant by that. They were focusing on power, and because they were talking about ruling and kingdoms and the king, they thought that Jesus was going to take things away from them. And so they decided to put an end to his political aspirations. The political world of the time used a cross to condemn people. Jesus used his cross to save people. And the men that knew Jesus knew what he had done. And because they knew what Jesus had done, they shared it with everyone, and they literally changed the world. And what was true about the cross then is true about the cross now. It can still change the world. That's the whole point. But there's more to knowing than just information. The story of Jesus and what he did has been known now for more than two millennia. Children can recount stories. If it was only about knowing what Jesus did, then we wouldn't have the problems that we still have today. If memorizing Bible passages were enough, if knowing your books of the Bible, being able to know the languages and all those things were only what were needed, we still wouldn't have the problems that we have today, and the world would be a lot different. Consider your average Bible college graduate. On average, a Bible college graduate to get a bachelor's degree has to study for just under 6,000 hours in 4 years or so. 6,000 hours. And yet, when the new college graduate shows up with that degree fresh in their hands, do any of us believe that that college graduate knows everything? Of course we don't. My father-in-law was a preacher and a Bible college professor, and he used to say that after 4 years, one will have merely found the door to the library. That's it. Well-known science fiction author Arthur C. Clarke said this, listen, it is vital to remember that information, in the sense of raw data, is not knowledge, and knowledge is not wisdom, and wisdom is not insight. But information is the first essential step in all of these. You have to start with knowing Jesus. That's where it all begins. We lead onward, but it starts with information about him. Knowing about Jesus, about what he did and why, really is the beginning. But knowing isn't only about information. Knowing is also about relationship. The Apostle Paul told the church in Corinth this, yes, we know that we all have knowledge, but while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Remember what was the hallmark of the believers that turned the Roman Empire upside down and in turn the world? It was love. Love strengthens the church. You can have knowledge without love, but you can't have love without knowledge, knowing people so you can love them. In John chapter 10, Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They know me just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." Jesus was referring to himself as the good shepherd. He said, "I know my sheep." And later on, he would say, "I will lay down my life for my sheep." The men who followed Jesus watched him do that and more. They understood. They knew how much Jesus loved him. They experienced his love and knew it firsthand. Because of their relationship with Jesus, knowing what he did, seeing what he did, compelled them to love him. They saw it firsthand. The things that you and I know, they impact us. They affect the things that we do. What we believe has a direct impact on how we behave. The goal of getting to know more about Jesus is so that we can live more like Jesus. That really is the point. It's like that old adage, "You are what you eat." One friend said it this way: meditation leads to metabolization. The things that we focus on, the things that we concentrate on, the things that we watch, the people that we listen to, the people that talk to us, the people that we hang around, the places that we go, things that influence us, they become a part of us. Meditation leads to metabolization. One way of looking on this is like this. If you aren't healthy, what are you eating? This past week was not something that was really good for us or for our country. I want to say from the outset that what happened in our nation's capital on Wednesday was absolutely horrible, evil, and wrong. For a few minutes, I really thought that I was watching an alternate ending of Olympus Has Fallen, but when I didn't see Gerard Butler, but instead I saw a guy that was wearing a horned helmet and looked like he was from the Flintstones, I thought to myself, what in the world is going on? There are so many things that President Trump has done and said that I do not approve of. But for just a minute, I want us all to consider our part in what happened on Wednesday. We have been meditating on things that we shouldn't be meditating on. And they have metabolized in our minds and in our hearts because what we believe affects how we behave. And it hasn't just been happening for the last few weeks or even months. The things we've been meditating on, we've been meditating on for years. We listen to our own opinions in echo chambers of social media, of news, and more. We argue in social media posts. And sometimes we argue with people we don't even know, that we will never meet. We watch angry news programs and we listen to angry politicians. Did we expect that we would not be angry after all of this? We watch rioting in the streets, and not just in our nation's capital, in cities all across the country that it's been happening for months. Did we expect that there would be no residual effect for all of this? In anger and in despair, we prayed, each side prayed. Many factions have prayed for Jesus to be on our side. And even claim that he is, and you know why? Because we know that our side is right. And all along, our national diet of endless emotional venom is stirred and stirred and stirred. then, just as gladly as we were saying goodbye to 2020, we weren't even 1 week into a new year, and one of the worst days in national history happened on our watch. Kerry Newhoff says that a crisis is a revealer and an accelerator. What did Wednesday reveal about us as a nation? And how did the events of Wednesday accelerate us to finally see who we are and what we've become? We should have seen this earlier, but we didn't. And when we finally did see it, it was happening so fast that we didn't know how to stop it or what to do. And now, having torn each other up for so long, we don't trust each other. We're suspicious of one another. Any and every side has a conspiracy about everything. We thought Jesus was on our side. And all along, we were stunned to find out that Jesus was wanting us to be on his side. We can't do this anymore. We just cannot. Our politicians are not going to fix this. Their promises are empty. And even if they try to fulfill them, if they're not made exactly to order, we verbally and reputationally slaughter them. Our only hope is Jesus. We've always known it, but our pride says we can fix it. And Wednesday we found out that we can't. If we're going to help people find and follow Jesus, we need to give them the real Jesus, not the Jesus that we want, or the Jesus that we think they need. We need to be better followers of Jesus so that we can show them the real Jesus. Show the real Jesus and the real Jesus that people are looking for right now. That people are weeping for right now. That people are asking for right now. The real Jesus can be seen in you, coming from you, speaking through you, using your hands, your feet, your heart, your will, your love, your hope, your heartbroken future, your frustrated dreams. The real Jesus is there. And he wants to work through you. The Apostle John wrote, that's love that you and I are to be known by. Love leads you and I to the right places. Love leads you and I to say the right things, to be the people that they are actually praying for. Love leads us away from anger, leads us away from despair, leads us away from fear, and into hope, into contentment, into happiness. Love is where Jesus is. And by knowing him more, we're going to see it. And by seeing it more, we can replicate it. And by being more like him, we'll give people an understanding that they don't necessarily need to wait for the next election to have hope. They can have it right now, because the cross that showed up on the Capitol on Wednesday morning, that's not the Jesus that I know. That's not the cross that I sing about. It's a counterfeit that simply condemns. It does not save. The cross of Jesus, though, saves. The cross of Jesus still stands. It has not been moved because we don't have the authority to move it, because we didn't hang on it. Our sin did. That's where hope is found. That's why knowing Jesus and following him and being the real Jesus for people who are looking for real hope is the only way to restore our world. So let me give you just a couple of simple things that you can do this week to begin showing people who Jesus is. It's just a starting point, but it really does matter. First, stop. Just stop. Stop the posts. Stop the arguing. Stop the finger pointing. Stop it all. Weep about what has happened. Pray for the man who's leaving office and pray for the man who's coming into office. Pray for those who can't figure out why it went so bad. And pray for those who are going to try and figure out how they can fix it. Stop all of the arguing. And just then, number two, pray. Pray and pray. Pray every day. Pray that God will heal your heart. Pray that God will take away your fear. Pray that God will work in you. You may not be able to fix what's going on in Boston or in Washington, D.C. or in any other city, but you can fix what's going on in your heart. You can let God fix what's going on in your heart. You can let God make a difference in your life so that your life looks different to someone who's looking for a different life. Someone right now that you know is looking for Jesus. Will they see him? God, forgive us when we trust in our own wisdom. Help us to remember that you sent Jesus for us. Help us to remember that you sent Jesus to change the world. And by allowing Jesus to be a part of our lives, we can change the world that we live in. God, help us to help others see Jesus. That means, God, you need to help us to be more like Jesus. It's in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.